Please be seated for our first Bible reading. And we turn again to 1 Samuel. And on this occasion, we turn to chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading at verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. If you need the page number, it's 272. Now, the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. The customs of the priests with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling, with a three-pronged fork in his hand. And he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servants would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give meat for the priest to roast, for he will not accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." And if the man said to him, "Let him burn the fat first, and then take as much as you wish," he would say, "No, you must give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our second Bible reading, we're going to turn to page 1209, if we need the page number. Page 1209, we're going to turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, and we shall begin reading at verse 11. Let us hear the word of God as recorded in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, beginning to read at verse 11. "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated and let us pray. O Lord our God, may we be those who gladly, joyfully wholeheartedly. Hold your commands, your word, your law in awe. May we be those who wait, O Lord, for your salvation, for new blessings from your hand each day. And may we be those, dear Lord, who gladly and joyfully obey and keep all your commands to the praise and glory of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we're going back to verses 12 to 17. You remember last week we looked at verses 18 to 21 because we wanted to see how those verses tie in with what we read in verse 11. In the first 10 verses of the chapter, we have the song of Hannah. Then in verse 11, we're told about Samuel as he begins ministry. And then we see in verses 18 to 21, the godly life lived by Hannah. But in between, in verses 12 to 17, we are introduced to the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. And what we note from their lives is not something that we should emulate or follow. No, the very opposite. What we learn from their lives is that which we are to make sure we shun and avoid in all and every circumstance. We're going to notice that these verses 12 to 17 can be likened to a sandwich. You know that in a sandwich you've got two slices of bread and then you have a filling in between. We have two slices of bread, as it were, namely verses 12 and 17. They give a summary, an introductory summary and an intermediary summary. I say an intermediary summary because when you come to verse 22 and following, you're going to see more of their disgraceful behaviour. So there's an introduction to their bad behaviour and there's an intermediary summary of their bad behaviour. And then the meat, as it were, of the sandwich is an illustration of why you've got the points made in the introduction and the intermediary summary. So we want to concentrate in particular on verses 12 and 17. What do we read in verse 17? Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. And what do we read in verse 17? Thus, the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. Now, the introductory summary is crucial. Those of you familiar with the structure of the book of Genesis will know that at different sections in that book, you get an introductory summary, a verse or two, and then you get details, some of which are a repetition of what's in the introductory summary. That's the way it's given. So what's happening here is the key point that we need to note is placarded before us in verse 12. Then we get an illustration of it in verses 13 to 16. And then we get a lesson to be learned from it in verse 17. What we want to note is that these men were priests. These men are sons of Eli. That's what we are told right at the beginning of verse 12. Now, the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, that's their name. What is said of these men who were called like their father to engage in a particular responsibility? Well, the first thing we're told is that they were worthless men. Worthless men. The word that is used speaks of that which is of no use. We so often say that which is of no use is useless. Now, think of it for a moment. God had appointed in those days that there would be the Aaronical priesthood, and that those engaged in the Aaronical priesthood had the task and responsibility of helping the people of God to worship God in a way that was pleasing to God. And if they were to help people worship God in a way that was pleasing to God, now this is a very important point for us to grasp, then they had the responsibility of ensuring that the worship was conducted according to the rules and regulations, the directions, the laws that God had given. God had spoken at Sinai. God had spoken to his people through his servant Moses. Yes, he had given them instructions about how they were to conduct their life. From the moral point of view, we have the 10 words. We often call them the 10 commandments. They had instructions too concerning their social life. But they also had instructions concerning worship, the festivals that were to be kept, the sacrifices that were to be offered. All of this is a type and shadow pointing them to the need of the Lord Jesus and the fact that in the fullness of time, one would come who would fulfill all that is expressed and set forth in the types and shadows. But their responsibility was to make sure that the right sacrifices were offered at the right time in the right way. But that's not what we see. That's not what we see in verses 13 through to 16. What we see is men acting in a selfish manner. Yes, God provided for the priests and the Levites through the sacrificial system that those who came were to bring an offering to God, and some of that which was brought would be used for the sustenance, the maintenance, the keeping of body and soul together of the priests and their assistants, the Levites. But even that was controlled by God, how that was to be administered. But you can see here in these verses an illustration of the fact that they were manipulating things to their own end. You see, it's very easy to do that sort of thing, isn't it? Fallen people, sinners, those who are not in a right relationship with God, they are more than capable, we are more than capable, of twisting and turning things to the way we want them to be, rather than submitting our wills to Almighty God and keeping and obeying his word. We must never forget, my friends, that when we say that we're under grace and not under law, that does not mean that we are to despise or disparage or ignore the law. Yes, the way of salvation is by grace, grace alone. But God has spoken. God has made known his will for mankind. We need the law so that we can see the seriousness of sin, and so that we can see our own personal sin and our own personal need to go to God to seek forgiveness for our sins. The law helps us to see the seriousness of sin and the sinfulness of our own hearts. That's why Paul in Galatians can describe it as the schoolmaster to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you ignore the law, you may say, as a person who professes faith, I don't need the law because my sins are forgiven. I'm now right with God. Yes, but my friend, are you living as God wants you to live? Are you loving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? And if you and I are going to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, we will be guided by the precepts and principles and even the inferences of his word. God has appointed that we're not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from his mouth. Now, the problem with Hophni and Phinehas, and no doubt others too, was that they were choosing to ignore God's word. Yes, there was God's instructions about the provision for the priests and the Levites. But here are people even who are engaging in getting what they want and even demanding things with menaces, we may say. Is that not illustrated before us? I mean, read these verses again. The custom of the priests with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant would come. This is verse 13. Moving on into verse 14 in a moment, while the meat was boiling, with a three-pronged fork in his hand. So he's not sitting and saying, thank you for what God has called you to give to me. He's there digging for what he can get as it's prepared for sacrifice. And he would thrust it into the pan or kettle, we're told, or cauldron or pot. And all that the fork brought up, you see there's three prongs on it, three prongs to get some of the juicy meat and the like from the sacrifice. This is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. So this wasn't an occasional occurrence. This wasn't a one-off event. This wasn't something that wasn't happening day in and day out. No, this is something that was happening all the time. This was serious because this is defying Almighty God. This is ignoring God's word to his people, this behavior. But it gets worse, as you can see. This is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, give me meat for the priest to roast, for he will not accept boiled meat. So they're picking and choosing what they were going to receive, for he will only accept boiled meat. He will not accept boiled meat from what you put, but only raw. And here's the menaces bit. And if the man said, verse 16, let them burn the fat first and then take as much as you wish, he would say, no, you must give it me now. And if not, I will take it by force. Now, these are meant to be godly people. These are meant to be people with a Christ-like attitude. Our Lord and Saviour is gentle, meek, lowly of heart. These people are not behaving in that way. They're ignoring God's word. They are, to use the jargon of today, doing their own thing. Now, do you see what we're doing? We're illustrating the reason why these men are described as worthless. These men are described as useless. They are not doing God's will. They are not doing God's will in God's way. As Hudson Taylor taught Christians in China and in other parts in the 19th century, God's will, done in God's way, never lacks God's supply. But these people aren't thinking about God the supplier. These people aren't thinking about God the provider for his people. These people aren't thinking about the precious, wonderful promises that God has given. These people aren't thinking about God's will for them and for his people. These people aren't making it their priority to help all who come to worship God at that time, as we read at Shiloh. Soon it would be in Jerusalem, but at this point it was at Shiloh. These people aren't thinking about how can we help these people to love the Lord and serve the Lord in a godly, God-honoring manner. Those thoughts were not in their mind. They were thinking of their bellies. One may even be tempted to say their God was their belly. What they were going to get was what mattered to them. They wanted a good feast. They were useless individuals. Now we have to tread carefully, don't we? Because we have the responsibility of applying the word. Not just of hearing it, but of applying it. You see, as we read the scriptures and as we read of events such as this, our prayer should be, Lord, you've caused this to be written for our instruction and for our learning. You don't just want us, Lord, do you, to know what Eli's sons got up to. You want us to learn from their bad behaviour. You want us to learn positive lessons. Yes, Lord, we recognise that you would never want us to follow in their bad footsteps. Because, Lord, you don't call us to be useless individuals. You call us to be useful, profitable servants. Not worthless people, but profitable people. People who are pointing people to the Lord Jesus. People who are helping people to see, if they don't know the Lord Jesus yet, their need of the Lord Jesus. And that only Jesus can make them right with Almighty God. And that they need to hear of the amazing grace and goodness and love of God to undeserving individuals in the Lord Jesus before they breathe their last here on earth, because they need to be encouraged to respond positively to the gospel message. You see, that's what a worthwhile, worthy servant does. He or she is thinking, how can I help this person, these people, know the Lord and love the Lord? But there's something very important we need to note. And it's also embedded here in verse 12. We've been focusing on the first part of the verse about these men being worthless, useless individuals, useless priests, useless servants of Almighty God. There is a more devastating statement made, which actually helps us to understand why they were useless. And that's at the second part of verse 12, where we go on to read, they did not know the Lord. They did not know the Lord. Therein lay the problem. You see, it's possible for a person to come into the life of a church, just as Hophni and Phinehas came into the life of the people of Israel through their dad Eli all those years ago. And it's possible for young people to learn from their parents the wonderful things that God has done for his people in days past. No doubt Eli would have spoken to Hophni and Phinehas about Abraham and Sarah. He may even and probably did speak about Noah and the things that happened in his day. He would have spoken about God's providential care of Joseph. He would have spoken about God's people being in Egypt and there gradually becoming enslaved and serving as slaves for hundreds of years. But he would also have spoken of the great deliverance that God gave. God had promised Abraham and his seed a land. And yet here they are as slaves, servants in Egypt. But God raises up Moses, whose job it is to lead them out of bondage and slavery and on toward the land of promise. And then it's Joshua who'll take them in to the land of promise. No doubt Hophni and Phinehas heard these Bible stories, if I may summarize them in that way. And there are children, there's many children down the years of believing parents who've heard the word of God. But the question is, have they come to know God of the word? You see, you can know the stories of the Bible, if I can put it that way. But the important thing is, do you know God? Do you know the God who caused those events to take place? Do you know him who's given great and precious promises? Do you know him who's working out his purpose as age succeeds age? A Christian, please hear this clearly. A Christian is not a person who thinks or believes certain things about the Lord Jesus. Anybody can do that. Anybody can believe things about the Bible. A Christian isn't a person who turns up at church on a regular basis, although a Christian does go to church. But going to church doesn't make you a Christian. And a Christian isn't a person who just says prayers or in a perfunctory way reads the Bible. Anybody can do those sorts of things. A Christian is a person who knows God. A Christian is a person who knows God through Jesus Christ. A Christian is a person who knows Jesus Christ. A Christian is a person who has a personal knowledge of, experience of, dare we say, of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian is a person who is walking with the Lord Jesus Christ here in this life, in these days. He or she is a person who is discovering more and more of his tender loving care for them as the days go by. He or she is discovering the way he cares for us in the personal circumstances and situations in which we find ourselves. A Christian is a person who is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And yes, a Christian will say prayers. He will engage in prayer. He, she will praise the Lord. He, she will be filled with thanksgiving. He, she will come regularly to the Lord's table. He, she will join regularly with the Lord's people on the Lord's day. Yes, yes, all those things follow. But unless there's that knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, one is still lost, dead in trespasses and sins. These men did not know the Lord. These men were not born again of God's Spirit. And please, please understand, the knowledge of regeneration doesn't begin at John chapter 3. The reality of regeneration begins at the Garden of Eden. If Adam and Eve were to be saved from their sinful state, they needed to be born again and brought into the kingdom of Almighty God. If people in the days of Noah were to get to heaven, they needed to be born again of God's Spirit. If you don't think that's the case, you don't understand sin, and you don't understand the fall, as we sometimes call it, the events that happened in the Garden of Eden. These men, they're not born again of God's Spirit. And so they're worthless, useless individuals. This is the problem with Hophni and Phinehas. You see, they're being true to their nature, selfish, self-will, ignoring the word of God. But as they say, where does the rubber hit the road? Well, the rubber hits the road when you and I say to ourselves, which we have to, what of me? How am I living? Can I say honestly, genuinely, I know the Lord Jesus? I know God. I know through faith in the Lord Jesus that I am right with God, that I'm God's child by grace, and that I'll never be separated from him. Well, my friend, you can say that if you're living according to the will of Almighty God, because the evidence of true faith is seen in the way we live. And that's why we have the intermediary summary in verse 17. The verse begins with the word thus, indicating it's illustrating what's just been said. And yes, the way those men were behaving was in a sinful way. The sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord. But then note this comment. Take it to heart. For the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. They despised. It comes first in the Hebrew. They despised God's offering. They despised God's will, God's appointment, God's rules, as it were, that surrounded the offering that was to be made. And we're back to the point we made before. Why were they useless? Because they were ignoring the word of God. Yes, a person who is useful in the service of the Lord never ignores the word of the Lord. He or she has right at the center of his or her life a love for the word of God. We say it again. God has appointed that we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from his mouth. So, yes, we're under grace. But the God who is abundantly, amazingly gracious to us is the God who has spoken to us and who has revealed to us how he wants us to order our lives in the power of his Holy Spirit. We need to come to repentance and faith. That was what Hophni and Phinehas needed to do, to repent of their bad behavior, put it behind them, and to embrace the Lord and walk with the Lord. They needed to come to know the Lord. But those who've come to know the Lord are those who cherish God's word. And that's why God's people are those who, knowing that the word of the Lord stands forever and that it's the wise man who builds upon his or her life upon the rock of God's word, that's why God's people are those who are always saying, to the law and to the testimony, let us go to the word of God. Let us dig deep into the word of God. Let us see riches drawn out from the word of God so that we can live as faithful servants. We don't want to be useless like Hophni and Phinehas. We want to be those who walk with the Lord our God, who please him in all that we think and say and do. You will never be pleasing to God in the way you live your life if you are despising the word of God, if you are treating that word with contempt. And you are treating that word, a person treats that word with contempt if he says, I see what the text says, but I'm going to go and do this instead. That is treating the word with contempt. No, no, we're to say, I see what the word says. And we get on our knees and we say to the Lord, Lord, I believe. Help me to live according to your truth. Help me to bring glory, praise and honour to your name at all times. So as we look at these verses, we find, yes, these verses are evangelistic because they're challenging us to examine our own hearts and lives. We must never fall into the mistake, the grave, grave mistake that Hophni and Phinehas made in their day. And as we shall have cause to see, we, if we have the privilege of being parents, need to avoid the mistake of Eli, who, it seems, didn't discipline his sons as he should have done. He should have done that as a father. He should have done that as the priest of the Lord there in Shiloh at that time. But he made mistakes as well. But we mustn't get ahead of ourselves. We're just noting that the grotty filling of this sandwich that we see in these verses is a filling that is upheld by pretty stale and rotten bread, as it were. And this is set here for us so that we don't taste of that meal. We avoid it. We see it as being more a poison than anything else. Certainly it's a poison to the soul if one was to follow in the habits and practices of Hophni and Phinehas. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we pray forgiveness for our sins, for where too often, Lord, we have sat loose to your word and we've tried to argue away challenges that come to us from your word. Please forgive us, Lord, for where we've not adopted the humble attitude you want us to adopt. And enable us, Lord, we pray, to be so filled with your Spirit that we might love the Lord and serve the Lord. Lord, may each of us gladly go on our homeward journey saying, I know the Lord. Lord, if any amongst us does not know you this night, may this be the night when they seek you and don't rest until they've found you. And Lord, may all of us who claim to know you truly demonstrate that we know you, Lord Jesus, the wonderful living God who saves his people from their sins. For we ask in his name, to his glory. Amen.